Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, poor Sidney Powell. Gotta be honest, I almost feel sorry. No, I don't. Never mind. I'm not going to go to the feel sorry for. I think they're going to deserve everything they get in court. But poor Sidney Powell again today, lost in court again. And I know there's a lot of losing going on here, but she's still got some residual cases that still have to be lost. Today, the Supreme Court tossed out two of their petitions, I guess, that they had filed in lower courts in Arizona and Wisconsin. So again, another loss for them. And there'll be more, trust me, especially when Dominion and the other voting machine company gets a hold of them. Going to be a lot of poor people. Anyway, this past weekend, crazy pack. I hope everyone didn't bother to watch it. I watched a little bit. I watched as much as I could stomach. But here to share some thoughts on this year's Conservative Political Action Committee shindig, I've asked our good friend Jared Yates Sexton to come talk with us. Jared is author of the book American Rule, How a Nation Conquered the World but Failed Its People. Also the fabulous host of the Muckrake podcast. Jared, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rick.
So let's start with the golden Buddha, the golden calf, the Bob's Big Boy character. What was that? And how do I get a copy of it?
I tell you what, we were recording the new Muckrake today, and we were trying to figure out if we could raise the money to actually buy it ourselves. The rumor on the streets, it was a cool $100,000. And to buy a piece of history. I think it was incredible. Not only was the golden Trump statue the perfect sacrilegious idol, but I think it is the perfect embodiment of the incoherent, absolutely insane madness of the Republican Party. It made no sense whatsoever. It looked like it was thrown together at the last second to be all things to all different people. It was just absolutely incoherent and disturbing. If you ask me, that's going to be giving me nightmares for a few weeks.
I mean, the only way they could have made it better or more outrageous, if they would have made a fountain out of him, like peeing on something. I mean, that's the only way it could have gotten any better. That's where they were getting their drink from. Maybe that would have been better.
You know what I really enjoyed? I don't know if you noticed this, but he was over an hour late to his own speech. Right. And I really enjoyed all the geeks around him who had to come out on stage and be like, hey, this is completely according to plan, just to let everyone know, you know, like he's not late at all. Like the way that he leaves his supporters to, you know, die of hypothermia in, you know, sub-zero temperatures, take their money, can't even like get excited about giving the speech. I mean, it is a terribly abusive codependent relationship all the way around.
No kidding. But here's the thing, you know, as I watched it, and I said at the beginning, it's like a comedian who hasn't bothered updating his material. It was the same tired routine. I think I could have done a better job, a little more energy, delivered the punchline with a little more zip. He wasn't on his game. You know, maybe get a couple of mulligans on the 18th hole before he came to the speech.
You know what's amazing with that, Rick, is if you really look at how politics works, this was more or less his time to shine, to come out after his presidency, to possibly set up another run at the presidency. He doesn't seem interested in that, to be honest. It feels like he just wants to be adored and sort of fawned over. But it's really obvious that this person who is completely untalented, uninterested, and just checked out most of the time, and they're treating him like a religious idol. You know what I mean? And they've completely sold every principle that they've ever espoused or ever said that they believed in. They've completely given over all of their integrity, all of it that was left. And for this guy who can't even be bothered to get up for their conference.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite scary, because here's the thing. This is his party. I mean, the Republican Party is the party of Trump. There are no ideas. There's no direction. And everyone's scared to death of this guy who's unhinged. I mean, he's still going after everything was stolen. It was a huge ripoff. All the voter fraud that we know it was there. And I'm going, you know, come on, update it a little bit. Give me something.
You know, we were talking about before we started going on the air, like CPAC has been crazy for a while, but at least at CPAC, you would occasionally hear ideas.
Right.
You know, they and by the way, terrible ideas, the worst ideas. You'd have people that come out and talk about like reverse taxes, you know, or deregulating the entire economy, or, you know, bringing chimney sweeps back into, you know, the mix. But what we actually saw this time was there's no ideology. There's actually literally no platform. There are no ideas beyond wealthy, rich, influential people wondering why they don't get more likes on Instagram and Twitter. And then on top of it, decrying socialism, reform of any type. And the only actual plans that they made at CPAC this year was how to disenfranchise voters.
Right.
That's literally the only topic that they actually discussed how to even address to begin with.
And the other successful thing they did, they brought an old Nazi symbol back to create their stage.
I mean, and by the way, it wasn't just any Nazi symbol. Like, that was a deep cut. Like, somebody had to really go back. I actually did a little bit of research on that particular Nazi rune. By the way, don't you love it when you get to talk about Nazi runes based on political conferences? That is the Odal, Rick, and it stands for heritage, which I'm sure made everybody at the CPAC conference feel really good about. So, you know, somebody got their pay for that. Somebody earned their money.
Now, I had a couple of people say, "Oh, come on, you're reaching." You know, they didn't mean that. And look, I put out a tweet the other day, and I said, "Look, you know what? I think I'm going to give a pass on this." Because if they don't know their history, I'm sure that they didn't know exactly what they were putting out there for the people who are the white supremacists. I'm sure they didn't know any better. Cut them some slack.
I tell you what, with Steve Bannon sliming his way behind the scenes, I mean, that's his gig.
Yeah.
That's what he loves. I mean, like, if you get Bannon on a good night after a bender, I mean, he's going to talk about Nazi runes all night long. This esoteric garbage is all they're obsessed with, and they're all about this symbology and symbolism, which is important, particularly when you have a conference that is based around a golden sacrilegious idol of a failed president. But yeah, this whole thing, there were a lot of, let's just say, quote-unquote coincidences to it.
But you know, those have always been there. They've always been under the surface. You know, I used to joke, and I think a lot of people joked about Pat Buchanan and his original speeches being better in German. I mean, that's how far we're going back in this. But now they're just here we are.
I've always been a fan of these old stories about when William F. Buckley would get one too many gin and tonics in him and he would just start letting the slurs and, you know, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories fly. That used to be reserved for the hotel bar after the conference,
right?
You know, and now they're pulling out chairs and stools and just letting it go free and everywhere. But you have to point out, these were the luminaries of the Republican Party. These were the leaders of the Republican Party. And not only did they come out and just speak in absolute gibberish and advocate for disenfranchising voters, they peddled one big lie and conspiracy theory after another. They have totally embraced Trumpism and they have totally embraced QAnonism. There is no daylight whatsoever between the Republican Party and that conspiratorial fascistic nonsense.
But the scary thing about it is they're well-funded. Yep. They've got tons of media outlets who have a huge followings.
Yep.
And the left doesn't. The left hasn't figured out how to compete, you know, because, you know, I had an interesting discussion with Joe Walsh, the Tea Party congressman, former congressman from Illinois. And we agree we can't go back to the fairness doctrine. We can't. It's just the left's going to have to figure out how to compete. We have to figure out how to compete in those spaces for the sane hearts and minds, if there are any left. And look, I think we're at a moment where there are some people looking at the Republican Party going, you know, but the left's got to stop being crazy, too.
Well, I would say first and foremost, I think the left has to point out what this is. They have to stop treating this like it's politics as usual, or that it's been politics as usual for decades. I mean, the Republican Party has been a puppet of the wealthy and the powerful of this country for decades. And, you know, we're sitting here talking about the fact that there weren't any panels or discussions of policy or actual movement or principles. That was up in the penthouse. That was up a couple of flights, because that's where the real power and the influence was actually happening. Ted Cruz and Hawley and Trump, all these people are sideshow spectacles. And the left has to point that out. They can't participate in this nonsense anymore. And they need to point out that this is an actual dangerous thing that is happening, and that these people are being used as a front for people who are hollowing out the country and selling it off for spare parts.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's the political theater that was that whole show. And I got to watch some of it, and I watched Ted Cruz do his little song and dance and attacking AOC, and I'm going, I'm sorry. Explain why you, the guy who fled the country, while your constituents were freezing to death, why you're attacking the person who was actually trying to help you. Explain that, because I'm struggling.
Well, I just want to point out that when they did the CPAC straw poll, Ted Cruz was fifth.
Yeah.
He was still gaining a large amount of votes and support for president of the United States of America after he abandoned his constituents to die in their homes and go look for food in dumpsters. The whole point, though, is it's a matter of, quote unquote, triggering the libs. It's whoever upsets the left. Like, if you actually look at that CPAC straw poll, of course, Trump is at the top. But there's DeSantis, who sacrificed his entire state to the coronavirus and didn't even bother to help anyone. I mean, they really have no other principles beyond the pursuit of power and upsetting their enemies or oppressing their enemies. That's all they care about at this point.
No, it's absolutely crazy. And this is where I'm hoping Joe Biden keeps us on this same path that we're on. Because I'll be honest, I listened to Donald Trump speak, was actually looking forward to it in some weird kind of sadistic way. Because I thought there'd be new material. I thought he'd put a little effort into it, like you said. And then I realized quickly, I am so grateful that I don't have to hear his voice every day.
I tell you what, it is really, really odd, because every time Trump comes back or there's some sort of statement that leaks, I am just so shocked at how my body is just recoiling from it. And, remembering this past trauma of having to listen to this lying buffoon for years. Yeah, it feels really, really different. And to watch him get up there, stumble through it, have no idea what he's talking about. And again, he's already lost miles off his fastball, Rick. I mean, yeah. To watch him up there, it felt like such a weird blast from the past, but it felt good to turn him off. I'll tell you that.
Now, today you see the what came out of France. Evidently, Nicolas Sarkozy was found guilty of corruption and influence peddling, sentenced to 3 years in prison. He's actually going to serve a year of them. I got to be honest, that gave me hope that possibly your state of Georgia could possibly look into the influencing that went on there. The state of New York could look into the tax evasion there, that maybe someday down the road we see Donald in a orange jumpsuit and a guest of the state at the Gray Bar Hotel.
I like to let people know where I stand on the issues. I am pro-criminal politicians serving time for their crimes and being held accountable. I was so happy about that, and I wish that we would pick up that baton and run with it. But I will also tell you, from the state of Georgia, they did not take kindly to Donald Trump trying to interfere with the elections in here, or sicking his fascist goons on them after they refused to let him do it. There is a real possibility that he's going to face some repercussions for what he did down in Georgia, because this state is not really pleased with what he did. And on top of that, we have a governor who he has already made his sworn enemy. So, I mean, things could get really weird really quickly down here.
No, I'm actually, that's where I'm looking for the most action, because as you pointed out, he threw Kemp under the bus after Kemp came out in favor of him and, did a whole bunch of stuff. And then, Trump just tossed him. And then all of the attacks and all of the nonsense, it's going to be interesting. You mentioned the word baton, and it got me to thinking about the golden doll again. which I wish they would make into bobbleheads. I'm hoping someone will make a bobblehead version of that. But wasn't he holding some kind of scepter or some kind of magic wand or some kind of crazy thing?
Yeah, no, it was a complete mess. So up top, he was wearing a suit. Down low, he was wearing American bathing trunks. Then he, in one hand, he had the Constitution. In the other hand, a wand, which if you ask me, is all the disparate, bizarre, completely incoherent parts of Republican belief. That he's some sort of magician who made everything possible and was able to just use a little wand to just make their dreams come true. It's just the most bizarre display I think I've ever seen, honestly.
So before we wrap this up, I got to look at this, and I'm hoping that there are still some sane, rational Republicans who looked at that and go, we got to move away from that.
I wish that were true. I'm a realist and a little bit of a pessimist at times, but even I thought they were going to move away from the coup. You know, I thought at least they'd move away from the Capitol coup and be like, ew, I don't think this is who we are. They embraced it. They just held it close and gave it a wet, sloppy kiss. I mean, there is just nothing that they're going to refuse to eat.
Yeah, and
I mean,
well, they're in the process of rewriting it. I mean, to be honest, they're in the process of rewriting it. It wasn't a coup. It was, they were invited in.
Oh, it was Antifa. What are you talking about, Rick? I mean, they came in, they wore the hats and everything.
So is there any way back? I mean, you're somebody I look to for hope. Is there any way back?
Yeah, no, there is. And it goes back to what we talk about a lot of the time. The Democrats just have to stop engaging with these people. They need to call them the absurd, dangerous group that they are and deal with the material conditions of Americans who haven't even been served by them. I mean, it's all lip service. It's all symbolism. There's nothing to Trump's faux populism or what the Republican Party has done. They have just absolutely robbed the working class of America blind. And so if they could actually deal with the material conditions and the things going on in their lives, I think the Democrats and the left and unions could actually find their footing again. I do have hope of them.
No, I mean, for me, and it comes to this rescue plan as a first step, and then we need a massive infrastructure bill to get people back to work. So there's a lot we need to be doing, and we need to be doing it quickly. Which is why I'm still hoping that the Democrats do come around and find their sense and do away with the filibuster, although I know it will not happen.
Yeah, I would love for that to happen. But just to reiterate something I said, I think the last time I was on this show, if you want middle America, if you want Republican voters in middle America to believe that climate change is a problem, put alternative energy manufacturing in their backyard. And they'll believe in it real quick.
I'm right there with you.
I think there are options here. There are paths forward.
Those are jobs. I'm right there with you. Good stuff. As always, Jared, I appreciate the time. Great talk with you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Our good friend Jared Yates Sexton. Make sure you pick up his book, How America Conquered the World But Failed Its People. We'll get links out on how you can do that. And check out his podcast, The Muckrake Podcast. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.